In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Love expressed for the living is often motivated by a mixture of selfishness. We love people, we show love for people because we hope to receive something back from those people. But love expressed for the dead is selfless because it expects nothing in return. There's nothing that the dead can do in return. When we bury a dead loved one, we bury part of ourselves with that person. And we return home carrying a part of that dead person in our souls. We see this most clearly when we bury a kinsman or when we bury a friend, or especially when a husband buries a wife or a wife a husband. But this is all the more true in the case of a mother who buries her children. A mother already carries her children in her soul in a very unique way. As a matter of fact, I remember reading a while back how even scientists have found that there are cells from a child that remain in the mother. And you often wonder how your mother knows what you're up to. And it's because your cells that you left in her after she gave birth to you are telling on you. She carries her children with her always. But there's few things that are more heart-wrenching than to see a mother bury a child. It's something that is not the normal order of nature. It's the children that should bury the parents rather than the other way around. But today we commemorate the myrrh-bearing women, and among those myrrh-bearing women was the Blessed Virgin Mary herself, who was burying her son. St. Nikolai Velimirovich says that when a mother goes to bury her child, it's the child that remains in her soul that goes with her. And the mother is hoping to keep that child alive by her tears. And as long as she lives, she keeps that child's memory alive. This is what compelled her. This is what compelled the other myrrh-bearing women to go to the tomb of the one that they loved, because a part of the Lord was still with them, that memory, and they wanted to keep him that memory alive. It was a very sad scene, but a scene that was turned to great joy. And when you read in the four Gospels the various accounts, some people are troubled by the fact that the accounts don't match up exactly, but the fact that the accounts don't match up exactly are actually proof of the authenticity of those accounts. For one thing, if you were going to make up an account at that time, you wouldn't have women as the witnesses to something, because women weren't allowed to give testimony in court. And so that alone is a piece of evidence that verifies the truth of it. But what the fathers tell us is that even though the Gospels talk about the myrrh-bearing women going to the tomb, that we have to understand that they didn't all arrive at the same time, and that some of them went back and forth more than once. As a matter of fact, the Gospels even tell us that St. Mary Magdalene came, left, and then came back. It was a very chaotic morning. First met with surprise and shock, and then with great joy. And according to tradition, we're told that the very first person to see the risen Lord was the Virgin Mary herself. And the Gospels don't specifically record this, but I would also point out that if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find that Christ appeared to a number of other people that are not recorded in the Gospels. We're told by St. Paul that Christ appeared to his brother James. He also appeared to Peter, which would be very interesting to get that account, but apparently that was just between the two of them. And he appeared to over 500 people at one time. But he appeared to the myrrh-bearing women, and great was the joy. Christ became incarnate because we are his children. And his love for us is far greater than the love of any mother. We're told that specifically in Scripture. We're told a mother may forget her own children, which we know a mother normally would not. But the Lord will never forget us. And he came to visit his children. First, he came to visit his children who were dead in sin, but were still walking around in the flesh. And then when he died the voluntary death on the cross, he came to visit his children who were dead from ages past. And because of that death that he died for us, he raised up all of those who had placed their faith in him before his resurrection, and he raises up all of those ever since who have placed our faith in him. And so while we still weep when we lose a loved one, because we lose their presence, we lose the joy of having them in our life visibly, we don't weep as those who have no hope. We weep for that temporary loss, and we keep them in our hearts, and we keep them in our prayers while we continue in this life. But we know that we will be united with them if they allow Christ to give them eternal life. So let us also receive that eternal life that Christ offers for us, his children, whom he loves, whom he keeps in his heart. And let him turn our weeping into joy. And let us all come to know the true meaning of the words, Christ is risen. Amen.